You are Locked On Clemson, your daily podcast on the Clemson Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Clemson Nation. Welcome to the Locked On Clemson Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, 5 days a week. It is a daily glance into Clemson Athletics. And thank you so much for checking out the Locked On Clemson Podcast. Going to be another wild episode as taking a look and hearing from Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. Got the quotes for you, the audio, where he again tripled down the third time now. Coach Swinney has shown his displeasure for Florida State and the decision they made on Saturday. In fact, he held very little back on Tuesday when he met with the media. There was a lot of national media on his Zoom press conference. There was a ton of local media, of course, and a lot of responses to what Coach Swinney had to say. So I'm going to let you hear it word for word, and then I'll dive deeper into exactly what all this is about, at least to the best of my knowledge. Also on this episode today, college football playoff rankings are out, and the Tigers sitting in a pretty good spot, at least on the surface, and I'll give you some thoughts about the college football playoff rankings and how it affects Clemson, where they're ranked, and what does it all mean for the future. And then finally, going to wrap things up with Tigers in the pros. Former Clemson quarterback Deshaun Watson is playing on Thanksgiving. We'll talk about what he can do against the Detroit Lions on Turkey Day. I'm your host, Brad Senkov. You can follow me on Twitter. That's S-E-N-K-I-W. And please, hit the download button, the subscribe button, help Locked On Clemson Podcast grow. You can check me out also at allclemson.com, where I'm the deputy editor and write daily. Also, I am the co-host of The Press Box on 105.5 The Roar in Clemson. I'm going to start out with letting you hear from Coach Swinney as he addressed the media. The first several minutes of the press conference, as you can imagine, were Florida State-related questions. Again, the Seminoles did not want to play last Saturday's game in Tallahassee as they decided that it was not safe as Clemson had a player who traveled with the team and tested positive with the team the day before the game. And the medical staffs on both sides could not come to an agreement for the game to be played. That is part of the ACC protocol. Clemson followed all ACC protocol and there was nothing they didn't do. Florida State just did not feel like it was safe to play the game. And the player was asymptomatic when he got to Tallahassee. He had not tested positive yet when they had arrived. And he had two negative tests early in the week. It was a backup offensive lineman. But here is Coach Swinney in the first several minutes as he breaks down what happened on Saturday.
You have to take that up with the league. I know what the rules are. I know what they were. So, and I know we met the standard to play this past week. And we didn't play. So we've played nine. We've played, you know, eight games. So we haven't had any issues all year. And all of a sudden, you know, what was supposed to cancel a game, you know, changed on Saturday. So you have to ask somebody else other than me. All I can tell you is, you know, what we talked about.
Yeah, but that being the case, this is Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. That being the case, if you met the standard, what motivation would the Florida State administration have for what you say forfeiting the game?
I have no idea. I mean, they said what they said, and we said what we said. We obviously don't agree. That's why it was, that was why it was very clearly stated that the medical groups did not agree. And, I trust our medical people here.
It's one thing not to agree. You've alleged that you basically said they wanted to forfeit the game. Could you go?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. Y'all don't listen. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. I said it should be a forfeit. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. Big difference. I said it should be a forfeit because we met the standard to play. And we even offered to play Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So in my opinion, we did everything we could. Our medical group was 1,000% on board with playing the game. So, you know, and again, I felt like, you know, I trust our people here. I have no reason not to. They've done an amazing job. So I didn't say they I said it should be a forfeit. I didn't say they wanted a forfeit. Big difference.
Hey, coaches. WYS, real quick. Is there, because of what happened this weekend, is there any thought to changing the standards or protocols in place based on how FSU reacted, or is everything going to still be the same for you guys?
All we can do is follow the guidelines like we've done. We followed every guideline you can have. So, I just coach the team. I don't come up with the guidelines. We just follow what's been put in place like we have all year.
And there is Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney with his side of things as this continues to be such a hot topic. Now, it seems like it is cooling off a little bit, or at least I thought it was about halfway through this press conference. The questions turned to more about Clemson, about football, about the players and Pitt and everything else. And then he wasn't quite done. Then there was this controversial statement, which came from a response from Florida State head coach Mike Norvell about coaches not being doctors. Here was Coach Sweeney's response.
I mean, we're not doctors. I'm not trying to be a doctor. I just listen to the doctors, you know. I'm not really worried much about what they say down there in Tallahassee, that's for sure. You know, I've been in this league 18 years. I've been the head coach here 12. All right. You know, they've had three head coaches in 4 years. So decisions that they make, I'm not going to worry about advice from Tallahassee. I trust the people here, and I trust our doctors 100%.
That was certainly a little Spurrier-esque shot there at Florida State and all they've gone through in terms of their number of coaches. He brings up a good point. I don't know if I take a whole lot of advice from Tallahassee either, but clearly a lot of bad blood now between these two schools, and I still don't think they play this year. I think ultimately the league is going to step in and not have this game play because Clemson's not going back. I feel very confident in saying that. They will not return to Tallahassee. I guess the question is, can the league make it right? Can Florida State make it right? And I just don't think that's going to be the case. Clemson's not going back down there and shelling out another $300,000. That's pretty much about as confident in something I can say right now in college football. Regardless, this story may be dying down, maybe finally going away as Clemson gets ready for Pitt, and really not a whole lot else to say about it unless there's some news that comes out. And Coach Sweeney probably will not address it again. I'm guessing three times now, once on Sunday night, again on Monday on his call-in show, and then following things up on Tuesday with the media. I think this is now going to be put to bed for a while. It'll be up to the two universities to work things out behind the scenes. Coming up next, college football playoff rankings are out. The first of the season. I'm going to tell you where Clemson is and what does it mean and some other kind of overviews of what the committee put together in their initial poll. It seems like these days that life just forces us to be on all the time. Never a chance to really slow down, catch up, and hit that very important reset button. But every now and then, you do get that opportunity. And when you do, reach for a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment. It is the beer that is literally made to chill. It's cold filtered. It's cold lagered. It's cold packaged. It is made to chill. It's crisp and refreshing as those Colorado Rockies. It is perfect for that moment to unwind. So when you're watching the game, doesn't matter who's on. Doesn't matter. The football is irrelevant. It's all about relaxing, and every game looks better with an ice-cold Coors Light. That's the beer I reach for when I want to unwind and get a moment to catch up on things. You can do the same simply by going to get.coorslight.com. They'll deliver it right to your door. If you go to get.coorslight.com, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Who knew something so healthy could be so good? You know, you're trying to be health conscious. You're trying to watch what goes in your body. You want to be careful about every calorie, every gram of sugar, every gram of protein. You want to keep up with it all, but you still want it to taste good. You don't want to be eating something that tastes like air, not the new and improved Deliciouser Built Bar. The great folks over at Built Bar have added 6 new flavors, up to 18 amazing flavors now, including nut and non-nut varieties, depending on your taste. They've got caramel brownie, cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, oh my goodness, mint brownie, some salted caramel. I need one right now. In fact, I might just go ahead and get one for myself. That coconut almond is great. 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go right now to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Coming up on Friday on Locked On Clemson Podcast, we're talking about Clemson versus Pitt. Going to have three questions, three players to watch, a final thoughts, and a prediction all on Friday. College football playoff rankings are out, and Clemson coming in at number 3. Very interesting placement here. Alabama's 1, Notre Dame, who beat Clemson on November 7th in double overtime, is number 2. The Tigers sitting there at 3, just ahead of Ohio State at number 4. And I think what fascinated me about this, one, you immediately heard the stat from the broadcasters there as it was announced on ESPN that the number 3 team in the first poll has never made the college football playoff. So Clemson has those odds stacked against them. But to be ahead of Ohio State in this one, I think says a lot about what the committee is watching and what they're looking for. They're very high on this Clemson team, first off. But they referenced, you know, the fact that they played that close game against Notre Dame, who they also think very highly of at number 2. But they also talked about that Miami win. You know, and that seems to be kind of the lost, forgotten victory on Clemson's schedule. It's like, wait a minute, Clemson beat a top 10 team. Miami is number 10 in the college football playoff rankings. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, they beat a top 10 team. Well, that still matters. You know, I mean, you've got to factor that in. And they were impressed with that win. And Clemson rolled that Hurricanes team. So that, to me, signals that they're really paying attention to who you beat. You know, I mean, the one loss they had was in Notre Dame. And they took into account no Trevor Lawrence and a lot of defensive players out. The committee is paying attention to those things. And they're really watching right now these top 4 squads. I have no issue with what they did. In fact, I would have Clemson 3 personally. In fact, I almost think there's an argument to make them 2. I know the head-to-head. They lost to Notre Dame. But who do you think is going to be favored in Charlotte if these teams get a rematch on December 19th? It's clearly going to be Clemson with Trevor Lawrence back, potentially James Skowski at that point. Mike Jones Jr. will be back. Matt Bockhorst, probably Tyler Davis, maybe Frank Ladson. Clemson could be fully funded, and I don't think there's any question in my mind they'll be favored in that game despite losing at Notre Dame in double overtime. And I think the committee knows that a little bit as well. But still, they think highly of both teams, and that's fine. I mean, I have no gripe about where they put them. Notre Dame should be in front of Clemson, but I think in a power ranking system, I would favor the Tigers a little bit more. But Ohio State 4th, you know, Ohio State I don't think so great this year. I don't think they've just been lights out, perfect, dominant in every way. Their defense has some issues on that back end. They don't get the same pass rush they had a year ago. We just kind of have to come to terms that Ohio State is not the Ohio State from last year. This team isn't built the same way. They don't have the same running backs. They don't have the same pass rushers. And they may need some more time to really season and get better. They can. They've got time, and they're lucky at 4-0 that they're in the top 4 right now. Don't have a whole lot of games left or remaining. They did have one that was canceled. But still, Ohio State's in a situation where I think that they have to kind of be happy and feel good about where they are. I think Clemson has to feel good about where it is right now. They're ahead of some other one-loss teams. Number 5, Texas A&M. Number 6, Florida right there, also with one loss. So a lot's going to have to happen here and play out to get it done. But I think right now Alabama looks like they're in the driver's seat, and I wonder if they lose a game, if they don't stay in the college football playoff, if it's to Florida. Now, things may change that Nick Saban came down with COVID-19 and will not coach against Auburn. Maybe the Iron Bowl has something to say about all this, and we'll find that out this weekend. But right now, makes a lot of sense where Clemson is and how this plays out. If Clemson beats Notre Dame, they're in. And everybody figured that anyway, but you kind of needed the validation of the committee ranking Clemson in the top 4 to start things off. And it's quite clear that if they beat Notre Dame and went out, there's nowhere to go but the college football playoff for the Tigers. I also thought about what this means for the ACC. You know, they adopted Notre Dame into the conference for 1 year. But what this sets up is potentially the greatest ACC championship game ever. I mean, this is John Swofford, the commissioner's swan song. He's got one foot out the door. By next summer, he's no longer the commissioner of the ACC. He's retiring. And this is going to be his final soiree. I mean, the ACC championship game between number two and number three, potentially, in Charlotte. Winner is definitely in the college football playoff. Loser might still get in. I mean, this is the absolute dream scenario for John Swofford. He has got to be just going nuts about this because this was his decision to bring Notre Dame into the league. And, you know, in his final season, his final farewell, he kind of gets something he probably always dreamed about, which was having two teams on the biggest stage in his conference championship game with playoff implications. Obviously, though, Clemson cannot suffer another loss. Whether it's regular season or to Notre Dame in the ACC championship game, the Tigers would be eliminated from contention. There's just too many other teams with one loss. There's going to be a lot of teams that win conference championships, even with two losses, like in Oklahoma. I just do not foresee any chance Clemson would have a way to get in the playoffs should they stumble here down the stretch or not win a rematch against Notre Dame. In terms of the ACC, you know, talk about Notre Dame coming in for this 1 year and it's paying off in a big way, but how about Miami, as I mentioned earlier, at number 10 right now in the rankings, and North Carolina at number 19, and that'll help Notre Dame and give them some more credibility to their slate if they're able to win the game on Friday against the Tar Heels. But regardless, it gives the ACC four teams in the top 25. That ties the Big 12 for the second most. And Clemson, again, number three, sitting right there in a pretty good spot. Coming up next, it's Tigers in the Pros. Take a look back at this last week's game and feature Deshaun Watson, who's coming off a really strong effort for the Houston Texans and looking to make it two in a row when he plays on Turkey Day. Now it's time for Tigers in the Pros, a weekly look at what's going on in the NFL involving Clemson players who spent their time playing for the Tigers, now moved on to the big leagues here. And another huge week for Deshaun Watson. You know, I talked about him a couple weeks ago, how as bad as his team was, as much as they were struggling, he kept playing great game after great game. And he had that stretch where he was just throwing for 300 yards a game, multiple touchdowns, cut down his interceptions. And that continued as he had another big game against New England this past Sunday. In a 27-20 victory, Deshaun Watson completed 75% of his passes for 344 yards and two touchdowns, averaged 9.3 yards per attempt. That's his third highest of the season, and just played extremely well and led the Texans to a big win that they desperately needed now to get to 3-7 on the season. And Deshaun Watson, you know, he's been frustrated when they lose. He's not let it bother him that his coach got fired. He's not let it bother him that his organization is trying to find a new direction. He's not letting it get to him that the players around him simply aren't what they were. He doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore to bail him out, another former Clemson player. But what he does have is that Deshaun Watson grit and that ability to just go make plays and never give up, that competitiveness that you saw so much when he was at Clemson. It's carried over in a big way to Houston this year, and people aren't going to pay attention to this. I mean, Deshaun Watson's going to fly under the radar this year. His team's terrible. They're not going anywhere. They're not fighting for a playoff spot in the AFC South against, you know, teams like the Colts. I mean, they're just not. They're not at that level. But at the same time, he's playing out of his mind. I mean, he is a one-man band out there, and the fact that he's really cut down on his interceptions and his turnovers has kind of changed. It's kept the Texans in games and giving them opportunities to win some of these games. And he's got another chance. He's going to be playing tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day at 12:30 p.m. against the Detroit Lions. Annually, we see the Lions on TV every year, usually in this 12:30 slot. And most of the time, it's like the Bears, you know, or the Packers. Glad to see it's the Texans this year. Not the Texans are a great team, but having that element of Deshaun Watson versus Matthew Stafford going off, going back and forth, I think could be very entertaining and make for what could be a game that generally I would not pay a whole lot of attention to, turn into something that I'm going to watch and have on and not just be in background as I get ready to carve up the turkey and enjoy Thanksgiving. So looking forward to that game on Thursday, again, at 12:30 p.m. Other games involving Clemson players to keep an eye on this week. I just mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. He's now with the Arizona Cardinals and having a fine season for them as they're 6-4. They travel east now to take on New England Patriots at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Both teams in desperate need of a win. New England trying to pick themselves up off the mat as they've really struggled. You know, they had that huge win over Seattle, and they come back and lay an egg against the Texans, and they're looking to bounce back. But Nuke Hopkins and Isaiah Simmons. Keep an eye on those two. Isaiah Simmons' snaps continue to rise. He's becoming a bigger factor in what they want to do on defense, and he's making plays. So the Cardinals, a fun team to watch, and with Nuke Hopkins catching everything that Kyler Murray's throwing him, along with Isaiah Simmons getting more playing time, a very intriguing team to watch. I would urge you, if you can, get some eyeballs on them down the stretch of this season, as they're a lot of fun. Unfortunately, with COVID and all, it's been really hard for teams to have fans in the stands and do it the way they want. And this is a game coming up on Sunday that I thought a lot of Clemson Nation would have turned out for had it not been for limited attendance and COVID and everything else. The Raiders, Clemson West, with guys like Hunter Renfrow and Trayvon Mullen and Cleveland Furl, they're heading east to take on the Atlanta Falcons. As the Las Vegas Raiders make the trip down to the ATL, a struggling Falcons team right now at 3-7. The Raiders sitting there at 6-4. But this is a pretty good Raiders team, and I would expect a big performance from them this week. Would not be surprised to see the Falcons continue their struggles and the Raiders to win this one big. But Hunter Renfrow gets to come back close to home. A lot of Clemson flavor in this game with A.J. Terrell. Maybe he'll get matched up on Hunter Renfrow, former teammates who won a national title together. Could see that happening. Could also see the Raiders winning this one big. But that's going to be a fun game there to keep an eye on with several Clemson players involved. T. Higgins and the Cincinnati Bengals take on the Giants this week. Big news coming out of Cincinnati. T. Higgins lost his quarterback. Joe Burrow tore his ACL last Sunday, tore multiple ligaments in his knee last Sunday. His season is over. And that does not bode well for T. Big blow. T. Higgins and Burrow had such a great rapport. They seem to really be on the same page, working well together. And that is no more as that season is over. I don't know what that means for T. Higgins. I don't know how you judge him the rest of the year. I think you have to be careful and not have a whole lot of expectations on him because he's just not going to have the guy who knew he was always there and looked for T regularly. So it's going to be a very different season down the stretch here in the second half for T. Higgins. This is going to wrap up Locked On Clemson Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Brad Sinkoff. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Brad Sinkoff, and hit that download button, that subscribe button. And thank you so much for being a part of Locked On Clemson Podcast. Back on Friday. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Have a great one. Talk to you then, Clemson Nation.